into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Golden Point. I'm Mac, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host JC.
Hello.
So JC, we've reached double digits. Can you believe it?
Wow, yeah, that's quite a milestone.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't think it was possible, but apparently anyone can put anything on the internet, so we've done well. So this week we'll feature the roundup, fans' verdict, 60 seconds of trivia, an interview with Broncos hooker Andrew McCulloch, the rep round wrap, and then we'll finish on Who Am I? So let's start off with the roundup. I'll let you get us started with a quote of the week.
All right, I have to bring the bleep button out for this one so we can keep the podcast to a G or a PG rating. Comes from Vave for the Seagulls versus Storm on the weekend. You really paid a bleeping $1 million for that bleep. In reference to the NRL's new introduction this year, the bunker.
Wow.
He didn't hold back.
Yeah, and that was to a referee as well.
Directed at a referee.
Luckily, he did not touch the referee because he's fine to get away and be... Yeah, like not be prosecuted at all, but...
Yeah, you can swear and like criticise as much as you want, just don't touch.
The entire world heard that one, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
You know, I can understand his frustration, but at the same time, his team got very lucky from the bunker with Jamie Lyon's performance, so I don't know what he's complaining about.
Yeah, it's funny with the bunker. We obviously, in the first podcast this year, we talked about it, or the second one as well, maybe, we discussed how we thought it was great and everything was working. And I think I made a point that let's just see in a couple of months how everyone's feeling about it. And I think Barbe summed it up. I think no matter what the NRL does, everyone needs a release. And the bunker is such an easy one to have a go at. It has made some great calls this year. It has made some bad ones. Yeah. That's never going to change.
Exactly. It's actually an interesting note on the bunker. During the Panthers game, the commentator, I think it was Vossi, said that they'd brought the bunker out and put it down at near Dubbo, wherever they played.
Bathurst,
yeah, thank you. And I was under the impression that it was this station in Sydney that didn't need to be moved, that could work anywhere, but...
No, it is, but for some games, for regional games, they have to take it to new centres because I guess they don't have the high-speed internet or whatever it is. Okay. So I think in Wellington, they took it over there because they don't have it set up properly in New Zealand, and they're in Bathurst, and I think they'll probably be doing the same for the City Country this week as well.
Oh, there you go. Learn something new every week. So now we have thumbs up, and we've gone with the Sharks. They really showed they were contenders. They were absolutely dominating the Broncos until the Broncos turned it on and remembered they were the Broncos.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were impressive.
Good game. Fantastic first half by the Sharks. I guess the question also has to be asked. Like, Sharks were great, but was it that the Sharks were great or was it that the Broncos are vampires and can't play during the day? There was a thing that came out during the week saying that the Broncos haven't played a day game since July last year, which is... phenomenal. How does the NRL let that happen? I don't understand that at all.
I can't get it at all. It just doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's hardly fair.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's have a salary cap to make sure it's fair, but then we'll allow this sort of scheduling to happen.
But we understand, obviously, TV ratings is a very important factor, and Brisbane bring in the best TV ratings. But it's just not fair. You've got to have fairness across the whole competition. Yeah. I think nothing should undermine the fairness, TV ratings being one of those things.
Absolutely.
So next up is thumbs down. Thumbs down, we've gone for City Country. Mostly the players dropping out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's made a farce of it. City Country used to be a big fixture in the rugby league calendar. And in the last, I'd say last decade, possibly a little bit more, it's progressively just gotten more and more of a joke, really.
Yeah.
I, for one, was particularly excited about City Country this year. As a New South Wales fan, we've got a lot of... spots in our team that are up for debate, and there was a chance to have some great battles out there at City Country. Yeah. At your 5-8 spots, you've got your Maloney's, your Reynolds fighting for it, fullback, Coop, Tedesco, Moylan, and then of course they all drop out, and we've got players like Ryan Madison, who could be a future in the star. He's played 2 NRL games though. He should not be playing City Country. I don't care what anyone says, that is not enough NRL to be making your rep debut.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Wonga Blake played two games last year and got a spot, but this year he's been a consistent first grader and doesn't get picked. It's, you know, I don't get it why they pick players like that.
Well, it's a case of they're just picking whoever they can grab out of a hat because everyone's dropping out.
Whoever will take a spot.
Like, Fittler's picked 10 players to make their debut because even Fittler himself said that he's quite angry because he had to make a lot of last-minute changes because after the round finished on Sunday, players just dropped out. Obviously, their clubs are the ones making the call.
Yeah.
It's not the players themselves, I'd say, most of the time, but the clubs just aren't allowing them to go because City Country isn't important enough in the whole scheme of things, which, just get rid of it.
Oh, exactly. Like, what's the point, really?
There is none.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and now we have, it was a big week for the Parramatta Eels.
Oof.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They have been hit hard by the NRL. I think up to $1 million in fines, competition points stripped, and now they need to cut about over 500,000 from their cap to start earning competition points again. It was worked out they need to win 12 from 15, assuming their next game they will be eligible to earn points in.
And that's assuming other teams, you know, lose games and win games. So it all depends on a lot.
Yeah, it really does. It pretty much, in my opinion, spells the end of their season. It's insane, and I cannot believe it's taken this long for the NRL to come to a decision for it.
Yeah, I find that quite bemusing. There's a couple of teams, or there's the Bulldogs at least, that have played them twice. They played them last weekend, and we know they played them a few weeks ago. And there's quite a few teams that have already played them. In these situations, we saw it with the Dogs, we saw it with the Storm. It's quite unfair for the teams that have already played them and have lost. And there's no chance of recouping those points. And they've lost those points against a salary cap breach team. And that seems unfair. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if anyone does. But I agree with the penalty and the punishment the NRL has given out. I think it's smart of Todd Greenberg not to stick with the Melbourne solution of saying that they're not going to be playing for points the rest of the season. I don't think that does anyone good. It's not good for the team. It's not good for the competition. So I'm pretty happy with the punishment.
I agree 100%. I think that, you know, it's a fair punishment. It's a harsh punishment, which it needed to be. And hopefully it's a deterrent. And hopefully the NRL is starting to find ways that the clubs are continually circumventing the rules.
Yeah. It's going to stop to it. It's going to say to teams that, look, if you break the salary cap, we're going to take your Auckland 9 title off you. And what kind of a team wants to lose that trophy from their cabinet? Have you seen it? It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I guess a trophy in a cabinet is better than no trophy at all. So let me ask you this. What impact is that going to have on their roster in the future? For the big name stars, let's say the Rad Rajas, the Jennings, the Foreigns, the Normans.
Yeah, well, I guess it's yet to see so far of what they're going to do in terms of reducing their cap for this year. They bought big over the off-season, so we know where they spend the money. We just don't know where they want to deduct the money from. I think it's pretty likely that they're going to have a hard time re-signing Corey Norman after this season.
Yeah.
Not only because, I mean, what kind of a player wants to be in a club in turmoil?
Oh, yeah.
But also, we don't know if they're going to have the same kind of money to offer him. They were obviously offering him money that they couldn't offer him, or they weren't allowed to offer him. So I'm sure that his offer is going to come down significantly.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was the Eels, they've obviously got to get on top of this as fast as they can, particularly with the wraparound now. So they have a week up their sleeves, I guess. I also think they should come out and they should say to their fans, we're sorry, we stuffed up. Yeah. And they should start refunding memberships because they've basically said the season's done because of us. And it's unfair for the people who have gone out and spent over $100 to attend every game and now all of a sudden the next 15 games mean nothing.
Yeah, it is unfair. I would like to think, though, that the fans are going to come out and they're going to support them for the rest of the season. I think this is a real opportunity for the fans to stand up and show that they're a part of the club. Board members aren't the club. They're the ones that have made the wrong decision. There's a lot more to the club and the fans are the biggest part of that.
Yeah.
So they really need to come out in numbers and show who they are as a club, really. Don't let your board members who have done you wrong represent the club. Represent the club yourselves, really.
All right, so I think that wraps that up pretty nicely. We're going to move on to fans' verdict now.
Okay, so the first one we had this week, is it time to bring back the 5-minute sin bin?
I think yes. I don't see why we wouldn't do that. You know, it can be used in a lot of those little situations where it seems like there has been a wrong, but it's not worthy of 10 minutes. And it might just reduce the fear of the referees in terms of using it.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. I think it could be used in a number of different situations that would improve the game. I think fighting is a good one.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if they brought in 5 minutes in bin for fighting. I think a lot of players would have a quick think in their head and think, yeah, I could do with a 5 minute break. nowhere near as big a risk losing points in the game if you have a player gone for 5 minutes. So yeah. I think a lot of players would probably take that opportunity to sock someone.
Absolutely. And you usually get two punches thrown, so usually it's two players, one from each team, going off. So
yeah,
it's always got some 12-on-12 action.
Exactly. So the fans absolutely agree with this. 91% say yes, 9% say no.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So second one is, should the NRL bring in a player loan system similar to English competitions?
I really like this idea. I think we've seen teams in the past get destroyed by injuries. I think Penrith is a very good example of that the last couple of seasons, really. There's definitely been other teams, like the Titans, who are short on halves and things like that, that could use someone to come in and give them a hand.
Yeah.
It's something a bit hard to work out, but I don't see why it wouldn't be worth a shot.
Yeah, I agree. And another side to it is that you see a few clubs that are struggling financially, it could also help them out. So if they've got a surplus of players that aren't doing what they need them to do, we could take Sandow from Parramatta as an example last year. He obviously left halfway through the season and Parramatta didn't want him. They could have loaned him out for the rest of the year and recouped a bunch of their money.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so the fans are quite split on this one. 45% say yes and 55% say no.
Oh, it's interesting. I wonder why people are against it.
Yeah, we didn't have too many comments as to why people said no. Someone said that the English competition isn't tiered the same way as the NRL, but, I mean, there's always ways around it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one up is, should Mitchell Pearce be in contention for a New South Wales half spot?
No. Answer done.
Fair enough.
No, yeah. It's just... I cannot see how he can possibly be considered. He's only just come back. He played well against a very struggling Knights side. I can't see anyone looking at that game and saying, oh, he's in great form now, because it's one game against a poor side. You also just get the fact he's had so many chances for New South Wales and has never won a series. I think it's time to just say goodbye to Mitchell Pearce and the Sky Blue jumper and just let someone else have their turn.
Yeah. Could not agree any more than that. It blows my mind that he is even still an option for New South Wales. 10 years, Queensland. Sorry, 10 years, one series win. Who wasn't there? Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah.
It's that simple. He might be a fantastic club player for the Roosters. He's not a good New South Wales player. How many chances can he possibly be given?
Yeah.
It is beyond comprehension how they could think that he is the answer to New South Wales' troubles, because he's clearly not.
Yeah.
He does not stand up for New South Wales when he needs to. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see with some players at rep games, they go to a different level. They do find that form that no one knew they had. And at the moment, we don't know if any current halves that play for New South Wales have that in them. What we do know is that Mitchell Pearce has the exact opposite of that, and he plays like he's the reserve grade player when he gets to New South Wales.
The funny thing about this is that, and I've said it to you many times, that New South Wales fans are searching for a halves combo that can win them a title.
Yeah.
They found it. It happened in 2014 when Hodgkinson and Reynolds were there.
Yeah.
Yes, they're not everybody's favourite players, but those two won the title for New South Wales. Hodgkinson scored the try and kicked the goal to win the title. I do not get it. It is something that bothers me so much. I'm going to stop myself because I could go on for days about that one. This was a lot closer in the results than I thought it would be. 41% said yes. 59% said no.
Wow.
The only thing that I can take from this is the question was, should he be in contention?
Okay.
Not should he be a New South Wales half. The other thing that you got to take from it is, I'm sure there's a lot of Queensland votes in there. And as everyone knows, he is Queensland's 18th man and has been for quite some time.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Our next one up is, Is City Country dead?
It's still alive, but it is dying, like, very quickly. I can't see it surviving for more than a couple of years. It's on life support.
Yeah, for me, it's dead. It's already dead. This year signaled that. I think we said earlier that this was the chance. This was really a good chance this year to make City Country something again, and it didn't happen. If anything, it was worse than previous years, and it's gone. Fans agree. 68% said yes. 32% said no.
That's actually a bit higher than 32%.
Yeah.
Not what I would have thought of. We expect close to 100, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a few of the maybe older generation fans still see something in it because it was such a big fixture back in the years gone past. So maybe that's it. I'm not too sure. And our last one, what are you most looking forward to during the rep round? Australia, New Zealand, Pacific Island Test, City Country, or other? Other being the women's game, the Australia versus New Zealand under-20s, etc.
It's so tough because I guess I'm not a huge fan of the Australian team, and I think New Zealand's been weakened by injuries, so the team's a bit weaker than what I would like. So I don't know how good that game's going to be. I guess I'd have to go with the Pacific Island Test. I think it'll be kind of interesting, and you'll see a few players I haven't seen before, and hopefully a bit of an attacking game, I guess.
Yeah, for me, it's Pacific Island Test. I've enjoyed them a lot the last couple of years. There's some amazing players that play in those games. I'm particularly looking forward to... We'll speak about it later on, but there's a couple of players in the Pacific Island Test that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm really looking forward to seeing the women's game as well.
Yeah.
I think they're great to watch. They're very exciting. They play a very attacking brand of football, and there's some huge hits match it with the men's game.
Yeah.
So that's fans' verdict done for this week. Oh, sorry, I didn't give you the percentages, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Jump into that. So two jumped out, 46% for the Australia-New Zealand game, 41% Pacific Island Test, 5% City Country.
Whoa.
NRL needs to have a look at that. And 8% for other.
Oh, okay. All right. What was the women's? Was that...
We had women's in other, so that wasn't its own one.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. All right. So that moves us on to 60 Seconds of Trivia, where this week I will be getting grilled by JC.
All right. We had an interesting one last week. I thought there was some pretty, I don't want to say hard, there was some abstract questions given out.
I was hoping you'd forget about that.
I never forget. Oh, but you know what? I've, again, taken the higher road, and I've stuck to some pretty reasonable questions here.
You're a good man, JC.
We're going to get things started with 3, 2, 1. Two players are equal top point scorer. Who are they?
Jared Croker and James Miney.
Which club has scored the least amount of tries in 2016?
The Knights.
Incorrect. Name two teams who have lost their last three games.
Two teams that have lost the Knights and the Raiders.
Two matches in round 9 had more than 50 points scored. Name one.
There was the Broncos game, Broncos Sharks.
Correct. Which player scored the most tries in round 9?
Ooh, pass.
Two players are equal top point scorer. Who are they?
So Jared Croker is one. The other one must be, pass.
Which club has scored the least amount of tries in 2016?
Oh, it's Titans.
And two teams who have lost their last three games.
I don't know.
All right, so...
They weren't even that hard, I just...
Oh, there was a... They had some difficulty to them.
I just got in panic mode. My heart rate just races as soon as the clock starts. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I thought when I said the first one, you sounded so confident, you were just straight into it, but then... Yeah. Anyway, I'll go through the answers now. Two players are equal top point scorer. Who are they? Jared Croker and Jonathan Thurston, both with 88 points.
Oh, wow.
Which club has scored the least amount of tries? Dragons with 14.
That makes sense. Yeah, they scored 0 points for like a month.
Name two teams who have lost their last three games. The Knights, Souths, and Titans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Two matches in round 9 had more than 50 points scored. Name one. You correctly named Sharks and Broncos. The other one was Souths versus West Tigers.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Which player scored the most tries in round 9? Blake Ferguson with 3.
Oh, there you go.
One.
Wow. That's a I got a record the last time I played this, and now I'm on a new low.
Well, you set too much of a high bar for yourself, yeah. I guess, with that huge score of 2.
It's going to be a long fortnight until I get to redeem myself, hopefully. All right, so we are going to now move on to our interview that we've done with Andrew McCulloch, the Broncos hooker, and we'll be right back.
This podcast is made possible thanks to our partners at leaguefreak.com, the place for all things rugby league. leaguefreak.com.
After making his debut in 2008, Andrew McCulloch had the unique honour of being the first player born in the 90s to play in the NRL. Having made the number 9 jersey his own at Brisbane, he is seen as a successor to Cameron Smith's Queensland number 9 jersey in the future.
Alright, we're good to go. So, first question. The Broncos have some real speedsters on their team, including James Roberts and Anthony Milford. Who would you say is the fastest player on the team?
James Roberts, hands down.
He seems quick. He seems to get past everyone when he gets in the open.
Is there much of a... do they have showdowns at training for that?
Nah, it's a bit dangerous for that, I suppose. Hammies and whatever else. True. Especially for a lot of players like themselves. So, no, there's none of that. So, but everyone sort of knows that no one's going to take Jimmy on, really.
So, your coach, Wayne Bennett, he's been very vocal about his dislike of the Golden Point. And you as a player, you've been in some high-profile Golden Point matches, obviously most notably the Grand Final. How do you personally feel about it?
Golden Points, they're a strange one, I know. I'm quite all... I think it's got to be a different sort of a rule for when you get to the finals. Maybe during the year, maybe for the amount of games and the amount of work players do, or maybe for the Golden Point to be part, but it's obviously got to be a rule put in place for when there's finals time.
Yeah, fair enough. It does get, I guess, in those pressure situations, it needs to be worked out a bit more.
They're never calling penalties and things like that because the refs are worried about causing that's the way the game went. So that's something that they probably need to look at as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they seem a bit afraid of doing that sort of stuff. So how do you find sharing the hooking roles with Cody Nikorima?
Well, it's good balance. That's the way the team is, and that works working well for us, and obviously Cody's obviously can bring something to the team that, just naturally I'm not as quick and as getting out as he is, and that's something that he can do, especially if it's the rule changing and Blake's getting a bit tired later on in the game, and it was a bit of a different sort of work for him on the weekend, but he'll sort of get back to his position.
Yeah, it seems to be one of the better hooking pairing in the NRL. I'd say you guys seem to have a really good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, well, they complement each other. I've got a role, a certain job within the team, which you suited to the time I'm out there to, for 60 to, whatever minutes Wayne wants, and then Cody comes on at the end and does his bit. So that works well for the team, and everyone's got their own rotations within the team.
Yeah, it's going well this season. So this week we've got the rep round. A lot of people argue that City Country offers nothing for the Queensland fans. As a Queenslander, how do you feel about the match? Do you watch it, and do you feel like there could be a Queensland version of it?
Necessarily, you look at the impact that's having on the New South Wales. They're all worrying, playing it, those blokes are playing out. We've got a good selection process at the moment. I just don't think we need to get into two teams battling for another game. That's up in New South Wales. So, to be honest, I couldn't care less what New South Wales.
Fair enough. So each season you seem to score very well on the NRL fantasy football competitions. Do you follow and pay much attention to fantasy football at all?
No, I don't. I obviously get hit up every now and then when I'm out in town or at dinner or somewhere to obviously score more points or do whatever must be in their score. But I don't follow it. It's not realistic compared to what you do in a real game situation and what your team needs you to do. Obviously, they don't score for certain things that the way the coach likes and your teammates like.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So last year you guys went so close in the grand final. How does that change your off season? Are you more eager to get back into it, or do you need a break from the game for a while after that?
Yeah, it's good to have a break. It's a long year. It's very, I'd say mentally draining. You obviously got to be up every game, especially towards the back end of the game where the finals are so crucial and, the pressure was pretty high. So obviously to get close to it was disappointing. So you would like to get away and get back to having relaxed, but then you sort of focus back in around the end of November, ready to go again, and you try to get that sword out in one and start over.
Yep, sure. Okay. And Wayne Bennett has always come across as a quite calm and stoic person in the public. He doesn't, obviously, a man of few words. Is he any different between behind closed doors?
Oh, yeah, he talks to us like normal, probably not as much to the media, you know, but it's compared to what he does talk to us. But he is relaxed. If he's going to be yelling and carrying on like you see some other NRL coaches, you know, I dare say Wayne might not have coached for as long as he has. So, you know, there's times to be patient. There's times he's not a real yeller. He'll just get his point across in a different way that he needs fit for certain players, which is why he's such a good coach.
Yeah, he definitely chooses his words wisely in the media, I think, and a lot of that time it has more of an impact than some other coaches. On the topic of Wayne Bennett, he's one of the most successful coaches in the game. As a player, what do you think he brings to the club that other coaches might not?
I think that's being able to talk to individuals on their merits. I guess talking to someone who might need a bit of a revving or, you know, kick up the backside compared to another boy that might need more confidence booster, you know, a pat on the back or let him know that he's doing something good. He's very good at knowing what his players need to get up for each game. And obviously, his experience being on the ground, he knows what works and what doesn't. So, yeah, that's something that's very vital at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Awesome. So, just as a matter of interest, do you have a favourite ground that you like to play at?
Definitely Suncorp.
Yeah.
Obviously, but other than that, I like Townsville just for the sheer fact of, you know, being a derby up there.
Yeah.
It's always dry game, and that dry game, and it's a quick game. It's dry as well. You know, a lot of the other fields can be a bit foggy or cold, so it's they're one of the better, and it's always a great atmosphere.
Yeah, cool. So this year they brought in the shot clock. We've had a few players say that they've noticed changes, and others have said that they haven't really noticed it much at all. As a hooker, have you noticed much of a difference at all? Are the forwards getting more tired?
Oh, that's hard to say. I think that might have an impact to do with the interchange as well at certain times, but I haven't seen a great deal. I think it's good for the game. Obviously, it keeps it upbeat. You know, it's getting a bit ridiculous there. Well, teams will, you know, we're taking a minute or so to drop out. It shouldn't take that long, and I think it's good for the fans. So,
yep.
It's been a good introduction. I don't find it a big difference, really. Maybe a little bit in the scrums. If you are, you kick yourself and you put it in the touch, you probably notice it a little bit more than.
Okay. All right. So that's all the questions we had for you tonight, Andrew. Thanks so much for letting us talk to you, and it's been great.
No worries, guys. Hope I can be some help for you.
Thanks Cheers. A lot for that, Andrew.
Thanks, mate.
No worries, mate. See you later.
Bye.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed that one. We're going to move on to the rep round wrap, where we're going to mix it up from question time this week. We're just going to sort of discuss the game a bit more because it's the rep round. It's a bit different, and we want to be different. All right. So the first game we have up is the Gillaroos against the Kiwi Ferns. What do you think about this one, JC?
Yeah, I'm interested to see both TV and live crowd figures, just to see how the fans respond to this game and just see who gets there for it and wants to watch it and the TV ratings, seeing who wants to tune in and see it. Because I know the NRL is definitely doing a lot to pump up the women's game,
yeah,
as they should, and I'm just really interested to see how the fans come out and support it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it hasn't been given the best time slot with 5:25 on a Friday. But,
oh, well, I mean, it's got to be before the test. So
yeah, yeah.
That's the best they can do.
Yeah. No, it should be definitely an interesting game. And I didn't get to see the one last year, but I saw the highlights. And as you said before, there are some huge hits in that game. There's some great tries. And just very physical all around. It kind of scares me a little bit when you watch it.
Yeah. It'd just be good to see, I guess, see the fans get into it. And then maybe we can look at doing a you know, the women's game before the Origins and things like that as well,
which would
be great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all in, I guess, the steps towards trying to get the women's league up and running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the next game we have is the most highly anticipated game, Australia versus New Zealand. What do you think of the New Zealand team? Because we discussed the Australian team a bit last week, so
yeah,
focus on New Zealand.
Yeah, a few new names in the team and a few, I guess you'd say, veterans dropping out of the team.
Yeah.
Mostly, I guess there's a couple that are missing from the Warriors team because of the troubles they've had over there. I think it looks weaker than a lot of other New Zealand teams in the past couple of years. I think they said today that the Tofu Harris is going to be playing 5-8 for them, which I'm not too sure about that.
He's a skillful ball player, but
he's not. This is international football, though.
Exactly.
It's not. I don't know if he's an international 5-8. We'll see. I might be completely wrong, but look, I don't think it's a great looking team. I personally think that the Kangaroos might put up a big score.
Yeah, I think they definitely have a chance of being run over, particularly in the backs. Like, you look at Semi Radradra against Jason Nightingale.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God, Jason, just run away. And then, yeah, you've got Ingles against Kenny Dow, Dugan against Beal, and Ferguson against Zlesniak. All of those guys have the upper hand in terms of strength and size. I think it's going to be hard for close to the line for New Zealanders to stop them.
Yeah, I do think there's a couple of selections, though, that, like, Ferguson on the wing, like we've said before, he's not a winger.
Yeah, true.
So I don't think that the fact that DWZ is lining up against him is a big deal size-wise, because DWZ has a lot more skills than Ferguson, so, and he's that traditional winger, so he could put in, he could score some more tries that Ferguson couldn't, really.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. And, yeah, I think, like, I guess looking at the benches of both teams, which one do you think has more impact, would you say?
Australia. I'm really looking forward to seeing Michael Morgan come off the bench, actually, and just seeing what kind of impact he has. Everything he's doing at the moment, everything he touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
So his spot is probably the most deserved spot in all of the Australian team, really. He's on fire, and I'm so happy for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, New Zealand has Cody Nikorima playing that same role, but yeah.
Not the same player, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a bit small. Worry about him getting pushed around a bit.
Yeah.
I think Martin Taupau could be a real impact in New Zealand. Yeah. I don't know. It's sort of, I always find these big impact forwards, when they come off the bench in a rep game, they never have the impact you expect them to have. They seem to just get knocked down in their first tackle, and that's about it. That's all you see of them.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be an interesting one. I can't say I'm overly keen for the game. I'm not the biggest fan of international football. I think it's more so I'm not a big fan of Australia and New Zealand because we see it so often.
Yeah.
And it's kind of getting a little bit old.
It is.
Really. Even though I know Australia have lost the last few and it's starting to build a little bit of a rivalry, I don't care as much as I probably should.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what I can put that down to, but anyway.
And what would be your tip for the game?
Australia by 20.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah. So next up, Australia-New Zealand under-20s game. So this one I find interesting. There's quite a few players in this game, actually, that have been playing NRL this year. Mm. And there's a couple that haven't that are going to be coming into the NRL and definitely in the next year or two. One that I'm particularly interested about is Nathan Cleary from the Panthers. There was a talk that he was going to be playing last weekend, for the Panthers. Griffin pulled the plug on that. And also, I guess, there's quite a few Panthers players, not to harp on about the Panthers in this one, but there's quite a few spread across both teams.
Yeah,
just want to touch on their under-20s team for a second. They've won every game since round one, losing that first one, and they've scored an astronomical amount of points. Are they the best under-20s team we've ever seen?
I'd say that to be close to it. Like, when you're saying an astronomical number of points, you mean astronomical compared to the under-20s usually. So really, it's out of this world.
That's very true. But yeah. Look, I'm really looking forward to seeing especially how Nathan Cleary goes in the under-20s.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I haven't personally seen him play in the 20s yet. I've just been reading a lot about him. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes in that game. You see a lot of commentators saying that you know when a player is ready for the next level when they just are too good for the one below it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to see if that's how he plays. If he just looks like he doesn't deserve to be there because he's playing with children and he's a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you kind of know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely interesting teams for both sides. Like, looking at the New Zealand team, there's a few names that stick out to me, but for the most part, I don't know many of them. So, you know, it's fun watching those games and seeing someone and being like, wow, that guy's going to be a future NRL star.
Yeah.
And then you don't forget their name. You know, as soon as they come into first grade, you're keen to watch them closely.
Absolutely.
So next up, we have Papua New Guinea against Fiji. What do you think about this one? This one's going to be a fun one, I think.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Fiji go. They've got a few NRL stars in their team, and they're always a fun team to watch, those Fijians. They're, obviously, we know what Semi Radradra can do and why, I guess, people are so unhappy with him leaving the country because he's such a talent. There's a couple of players I'm looking forward to seeing. The Guama go out there. He's always a fun one to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it should be a good game.
Yeah, no, definitely. He, you'd imagine he's just going to run over them and be able to I'll run past him. I guess he's a fast guy.
Yeah.
There's quite a few NRL players there that really do stick out. There's Nene McDonald from the Titans who's that big, tall, sort of strong winger that, yeah, should be fun to see in that sort of, I guess, outfit.
Yep.
Yeah, so next up we have Tonga and Samoa.
So with this one, I touched on it a little bit earlier, the players I'm looking forward to seeing. It's the reunion between Cranky Frankie, Frank Pritchard, and Big Sam Cassiano.
Wow.
So Pritchard's come all the way from England to captain his country for this one. So really looking forward to seeing those two get back together and cause some havoc.
Yeah, there's some big names there. Some guys I haven't seen for a while. Like Sikamanu, who used to be a Panthers and Storm player. And yeah, you got Felita Mateo playing 5'8". I don't know. I think it's just going to be... They're going to be a good game. You know, there's so much attacking prowess on both sides. And
that's the thing that these Pacific Island games bring about, I think, is that they're always just exciting and fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and then we finish it up with City versus Country.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, everyone get excited.
Yeah. No, everyone's right. Probably getting ready to drive out to Tamworth for that one.
Of course, yeah. No, it's I can't believe how much of a disappointment this was. As you were saying earlier, I was so excited for this game. Like, I thought, oh my God, for the first time it's going to be relevant in about 5 years.
Yep.
So many positions up for grabs. How are they going to fit all the fullbacks in the team? They didn't fit any of the team. They all pulled out.
Yep.
I wanted to find a list of everyone that had pulled out, but I couldn't find an exact list because it was hard to say who had just been denied first. Something that stood out to me that was amazing, a player that wanted to actually play, Sean Fenson, didn't get picked.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't get picked.
What on earth?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. He's eluded rep teams for a number of years now, and it doesn't make any sense because he is such a quality player. He brings so much to that Raiders team, and it's, I mean, part of the reason why the Raiders have had quite a few quite successful games this year is because on the back of Fenson. He's been playing well, so... Don't understand that one at all.
So, I know we've been negative about this. What are you looking forward to in this game?
One thing I'm really looking forward to is seeing how Chris Lawrence goes.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk of Chris Lawrence this week and he's captaining City. Look, I think... I don't think this would be a popular opinion, but I think he is coming under the radar for rep selection, a New South Wales selection.
This transition, he's gone on the Luke Lewis route of moving to the forwards, and I think he's very much that Luke Lewis player.
Yeah.
I'd be happy for him to be there for New South Wales.
He's definitely been one of the better players for the Tigers this year, who haven't found a lot of success. So I guess that says a lot more about the player when that's the way the team's going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Haas pairing of Aiden Caesar and Chad Townsend. I think that should be an interesting one to watch. They're two guys whose names have been thrown up Origin, but I'm guessing they're not there yet.
No, I can't imagine them being real chances. I think Maloney is definitely a real chance, but I think he kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in this game because he's one of them that is a real, real chance at State of Origin, and all the rest are, most of them are just fillers, really.
Yeah, it's like, why has he been picked there?
Yeah.
Does that mean he's not in contention? Or?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I do wonder how much Laurie has to say in terms of the selections, but... Yeah, maybe they just couldn't find anyone else. Maybe they were out of 5'8" and he was the last one standing.
Well, it should be interesting to see how him and Jack Bird go as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, the club combination, but Bird plays in the centres, so it'll be interesting to see how they go as a halves pairing.
Absolutely. So that's the rep round wrap. All done. It should be a good round, you know. It's good to give everyone a rest from the NRL and, I guess, bring in a couple of interesting games. But,
yeah.
All right, so we're moving on to Who Am I, where I have a player who has played in the past 10 years. They may or may not be retired now. They've played over 100 games. They could be a coach or a player as well. We should point that out. And I'm going to go through the clues and see if JC can pick it. So clue number one, I made my debut in the year 2000. Clue number two, I'm not going to say that anymore. I mainly played lock during my career, but also filled in at hooker and the back row. I played 220 games in first grade. I'm now retired. In 2006, I broke the record for most tackles in the regular season with 1,087. We'd like to have a guess. We're up to... That's clue number five.
Can you just go through them again for me?
Absolutely. So I made my debut in the year 2000. I mainly played lock but also filled in a hooker and the back row. I played 220 games in first grade. I am now retired. And in 2006, I broke the record in the regular season for the most tackles with 1,087.
Yeah, that one got me. There's someone that I've kind of just got a slight image of in my head, but I can't place who it is. I feel like I'm going to kick myself. I'm not going to have a guess yet. I don't know yet.
Okay, so we'll continue on with the clues. In 2008, I won the Dally M Lock of the Year Award and Captain of the Year Award. Despite being recognised as Lock of the Year, my rep career saw me represent country, as in New South Wales country, not Australia, the country, only once, and never played State of Origin or for Australia. I wore headgear throughout my career. My team made the finals 5 times throughout my career. However, my finals record was just 1 win and 5 losses. That's clue number 9. We have one more. Do you care to have... Last week you gave me a chance to sort of discuss a bit, so I'm going to give you the same opportunity here. Feel free to say players' names. I won't come in and say you're out.
No, I think I'm going to have a guess.
Oh.
I do think... I'm pretty sure I know who it is, and I kind of just want to have a guess because you set the bar at 10 last week, so I want to try and beat that.
Okay.
I'm almost certain. Can I just have a quick run through the questions again?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You can do them nice and quick if you want.
All right. So I made my debut in the year 2000. I mainly played lock, but also filled in at hooker in the back row. I played 220 games in first grade. I'm now retired. In 2006, I broke the record for most tackles in the regular season with 1,087. In 2008, I won the Dally M Lock of the Year and the Dally M Captain of the Year. Despite being recognised as Lock of the Year, my rep career only saw me play for New South Wales country once, and I never played State of Origin or for Australia. I wore headgear throughout my career, and my team made the finals 5 times during my career. However, my finals record finished with just 1 win and 5 losses.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty certain I know who it is. Okay. If I'm wrong, then it's a bit embarrassing, but I think it might be our favourite redhead. I think it might be Alan Tong.
That is correct. Well done. My last clue was, I only ever played for one club. That club was the Canberra Raiders, which I figured would put you over the edge.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I got it a couple back. The headgear one was pretty much the deal sealer for me. When you said you got Captain of the Year and Lock of the Year, I was pretty certain on that one. So, that's a good one. Alan Tong, like him.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Alan Tong. He's basically, I think Sean Fenson's a reincarnation of him these days.
He's one of those players that will always go down as one of the most unlucky players not to play for New South Wales.
He was someone that made me fall in love with rugby league. Yeah. You know, just this hard nut that would just go out there every week, make a million tackles, do what he could for his team, and leave the field basically crawling because he'd be that tired.
Especially in an era later in his career where New South Wales were giving away jerseys to any player that played well. It's amazing that he didn't get a run at some point.
Even just playing for country once. Only once. He did get picked for the Prime Minister's 13, but at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a shame. I was a big fan of Valentine. Because like you said, he was just a no-nonsense player. Just did what he had to do. And he never blew up at the media. He never went out and got drunk and disorderly. Good pick.
Yeah, I think. So that's the show for the week. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you after the rep round.
You've just listened to the Golden Point. Well done.